Let us open our Bibles to the book of the Psalms, and we'll read Psalm 5. Psalm 5. To the chief musician upon Nehiloth, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. The text for this morning's sermon is taken from this psalm, Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Dear congregation of Bornholm, there are those in the workforce who have shift work. Nurses have to. Police officers have to. Firefighters have to. Another group of people who have shift work are sailors. Of course, shift work is hard on the body, and sailors who don't get to go home, in order to manage the shift work, have something called a watch system or a watch schedule that assigns regular period of work to be done at different times on the ship so that the crew can operate the ship 24 hours a day for the duration of a long voyage. They divide the watch system into various shifts. There's the first watch that begins at 8 o'clock in the evening. There's the night watch that begins at 12 o'clock midnight. There's the morning watch that begins at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the Christian knows about these watches in the night. And the Christian knows something also about the morning watch. That's how we hear David in this service. In the words of our text, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And that's why you can write over this sermon, the morning watch. The morning watch, and we'll see four things. First of all, the priority. Secondly, the pattern. Thirdly, the purpose. And fourthly, the persuasion. The morning watch, the priority of this morning watch. The pattern in this morning watch. The purpose of the morning watch. And fourthly, the persuasion for the morning watch. So the subject for this service is the morning watch. And the morning watch consists of prayer. Seeking the face of the Lord, seeking communion with Him. And that is a wonder that after the fall into sin, that the Lord has still given this opportunity. Of course, before the fall into sin, man could commune with God from morning and commune with Him in the heat of the day and the cool of the day too. But after the fall into sin, while having sent man away, He still has not removed a throne of grace. So prayer can be made. And we hope and pray that prayer is wont to be made. Now, prayer is not easy. For the true needy soul, prayer is not always easy. Paul knows about that when he writes about a spiritual battle of the flesh lusting against the spirit. And the child of God can so easily experience that in prayer. For there is this unwilling heart, and there are wandering thoughts, and there is the sluggishness of the soul. And if you struggle with prayer, then it is good to open up the book of the Psalms, which God has given in order to teach His people to pray. Prayers that have been given by the Holy Spirit to help the needy soul in seeking the Lord, in teaching us what to ask from the Lord, and calling also for faith in the Lord. And in Psalm 5, we hear David turning to the Lord in the morning. It's a time when many of us can struggle in prayer. Now, we don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm, but it's clear he does not have it easy. He's surrounded by enemies, and they're making the way difficult for David. These enemies who are marked by rebellion too, as he paints a picture of their corruption in verses 8 and 9. Their lying, their flattery, their evil hearts. But they're not just enemies of David. They're enemies of God, verse 10. Now, who is David thinking of? What are the difficulties that David faces? Is he maybe in the time of Absalom and experiencing the revolt of his own son? Well, whatever it is, David in his danger turns to the Lord. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now someone says, that pastor, that is not such a surprise, is it? Whenever there's a need, people pray, don't they? When there's a storm, people sometimes begin to pray. When there are trials, when there are difficulties. Of course, whether that is true prayer, that's another thing. And whether God indeed hears such a prayer is also another thing. But David, he has more. He has received the Spirit of grace and of supplications, promised in Zechariah 12. He has been made a true seeker after the true God. He is a soul who cannot do without the Lord. For look at him. Do you see the priority prayer has in David's life? I mean, imagine the difficulties that David has. The enemies are out to destroy him. They're seeking to destroy him. And David has gone to sleep. Maybe he's gone to sleep in a tent, or maybe in a cave, but in the morning he wakes up. He has been spared in the night, but his situation has not really changed. The enemies are still set against him. The enemies are still seeking to destroy him. And maybe in the morning there are spies who are ready to report to David, or there are captains in his army who are willing to suggest some tactics in order to defeat the enemy. But David is on the run. He doesn't have much time. There are people who want to speak to him and with him. But the first thing David does is he turns to the Lord. He doesn't seek out men. He doesn't seek out his men. He doesn't seek out his advisors. He doesn't go to them and get a report from them of what happened in the night. No, he prays to God first. And he doesn't just do that now at times of danger and at times of need. But this is his practice. This is his daily practice. Each morning this was his first activity. He drew near to God in prayer. It was his priority. And it tests us, doesn't it? How do we begin each day? How should we begin each day? Someone says, Pastor, I press the snooze button on my alarm clock and turn over and try to get as much sleep as I can. And then at the last possible minute, I wake up and I get dressed as quickly as I can and I eat quickly, maybe quickly read, quickly pray, and go to where I need to go. Of course, you sense, don't you, that that is not the right way. It's not that healthy. It brings about a lot of stress. And you don't have much patience, and you easily get agitated if something doesn't go quite right. That's stressful. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that there is no time for God. For God, in the morning, is calling you. And He's calling me. It's not, first of all, your work that's calling you, and it's not just school that's calling you. It's not even your family who's calling you. It's God who's calling you. And He says in the morning, seek ye my face. And does your heart reply with Psalm 27? Thy face, Lord, will I seek. How do you begin your day? How did you begin your day today? You woke up. You went to church. What happened in between? Between waking up and going to church. Was there a time in which you said, now it's time to seek the Lord before I go much further in my day, before going to church? What mercy do I not need from the Lord? I mean, boys and girls, when you go to bed at night, you don't go to bed without first praying, do you? Your parents have taught you to pray before you go to bed at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray Thee, Lord, my soul to keep. And now, in the morning you wake up and it's time to pray again. The Lord kept you in the night. That's what you asked for. And now a new day has come. And you need the Lord. David says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. It would be good for parents to speak about this with their children, and it would be good for parents to speak about it with their teenagers too. Yeah, teenagers. Maybe I can ask you, young people, how about you? Is this a priority for you, like it is for David? Is it your priority? Or did you lay in your bed as long as you could and you said, you know, Mom, it only takes me 10 minutes to get up and go in the morning. But did you have time to seek the Lord? And do you do that on Sundays? And in the middle of the week, when you have so much to do? And mothers, did you have time to meet with the Lord this morning? I know that there are many things that you need to do. But do you not know who is calling you first in the morning? The Lord is calling you and He's waiting to hear your voice. And fathers, what a busy week you can have at work. And sometimes from Monday to Friday you get up early, you leave early. But do you have time to seek the Lord, to fold your hands and to say with David, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Now, there are those who also don't have to rush and get up so early in the morning. Maybe those who are more aged and maybe retired. But in the morning, what does your heart go out after? Is it the Lord? To seek Him in the morning. It's what the Lord Jesus did. Rising early and going to seek His Father. Mark 1 verse 35 tells us that, for instance, He who is the Son of God, who is the Lord of glory, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the One who heals, who has just in that passage been healing the sick, He still needs to pray. And if He needs to pray, how much more do you and I not need to pray? And why do we need to pray? Why is it so important to pray? Why is it so important to seek Him first in the morning? Because of who God is, because of what He says, and because of what He seeks. Yes, because of who God is. He's our Creator. He has made us. He has a right to our life. He has a right to our time. He has a right to our first things, to our first moments in the day. And He's also our sustainer. He has carried us through the night. And one day we have to meet Him, our judge, because of who He is. Secondly, because of what He says. He calls us to seek Him. He calls us to pray to Him, to meet Him in prayer. In 1 Peter 4, verse 7, for instance, watch unto prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Or in the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek Him first in your life. Seek Him first in your day. Plus, we should seek Him because of what He seeks. He seeks us. He seeks our good. And what do we need in this busy world? We need time with God. Time alone with God. To be still, as Psalm 46 says it, and know that He is God. That's why He should be first. As Matthew Henry says, let Him who is the first, who is the Alpha, let Him be first. Don't just give Him the last moments of your day, when you're tired and you're exhausted and so much has happened and you're still thinking about your duty and you're still thinking about that difficulty that you met with. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, when you're refreshed, when your mind is clear, and there are not the distractions and wearinesses of the day. That's the priority whereby the Lord makes first things first in your life. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, whereby this meeting with God is the priority in the life of the soul. But now, what's the pattern? What's the way to pray? How do we pray? Well, then David gives us lessons in prayer. So that's our second point, the pattern here for this morning watch. For you, you might be here this morning and you say, but Pastor, how do you pray? I find it so difficult sometimes. I find it so hard. Well, David knows about that too. He does not always find it easy. He says that in the first verse already when he says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. He wants to reach the ear of God, but he knows it's hard, and it comes out in that word meditation, literally groaning. He struggles with prayer. God's people have infirmities in prayer. But there is one who is willing to help. And he is at work in the morning already. The Spirit of grace and supplication, who also does not slumber nor sleep. The Spirit of whom Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 26, who helpeth in our infirmities and who makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But there are some things that we can learn from David. Sure there is. For one thing here, the pattern of prayer means that he opens his mouth. He opens his mouth. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. He'll make his voice heard. He would pray out loud. He will move his lips. Yeah. To pray out loud can help you concentrate. Don't you ever struggle with that? With your thoughts wandering? Before you realize it, you are arranging all kinds of things in your day and you're thinking about this and you're thinking about that. But praying out loud can help you focus your thoughts. David says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Of course, the Lord does not need to. He also can hear, the voice of your heart. But David, he doesn't just want to rattle his prayer quickly with his mind. Quick, get it over and done with. He wants to remind himself that he is coming to God, his King. Verse 2, he says that. My King and my God. How sad when we forget that. When we forget that when we come to church. When we forget that in our own private prayer and in family devotions and worship. When we sing and pray, read, but our thoughts are far off. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. He opens his mouth. Secondly, he prepares his prayer. He prepares his prayer. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee. That word translated here is the word direct paints a picture of preparation. It's the same word used in Genesis 22 verse 9 that is prepared on the altar on Mount Moriah. That wood that was laid in order. That's the same word. It's also used in Genesis 14 verse 8 for an army preparing for battle. And do we not do well to do that? To prepare our souls. To prepare our prayers. What are you going to pray for? What are you going to confess? What are you going to ask? What are you going to thank for? There are specific things to pray for. Specific needs. Specific sins. Specific temptations. Specific burdens. Specific trials. We do well to prepare our prayers. To think of what we're doing. To think of what we need to ask. He opens his mouth. He prepares his prayer. Thirdly, he focuses his prayer. For the focus of his prayer is on the Lord. He does not just want to say his prayers and just appease his conscience that he has said his prayer. He does not want to be like the Pharisee who prayed in himself. He was focused on himself. He was focused on man in prayer. And he wasn't really praying. He had no real need. He wasn't set on God, realizing he was coming before a holy king. But David wants to meet with God. And his prayer is set on God. Unto thee will I pray, he says. I will direct my prayer unto thee. He's having dealings with God. He's doing business with God. And that's what we need. Prayer is such in which you have dealings with God himself. Fourthly, he not only opens his voice, opens his mouth, not only prepares his prayer, he not only focuses his prayer, but there is fourthly reverence in his soul. There's reverence in his soul. He knows who he is coming to, the King, the Holy One, who has no pleasure in wickedness, verse 4, who hates the workers of iniquity, verse 5. He doesn't come flippantly. He doesn't come carelessly as if he's coming to a buddy. Look at verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. He is the Lord before whom the angels cover their faces, cry out, holy, holy, holy. There's reverence in his soul, respect in his heart. And it's fitting that there be the soul come with love mixed with fear and trembling. Is that how we pray? Opening your mouth. Preparing for prayer. Focusing in prayer on the God and King. And is there reverence? Reverence in your soul? Or does the Lord have to say of you and me, this people draweth near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see our need for the Spirit of grace and of supplications to teach us to pray, to fill our souls with the right thoughts and feelings before God. We need Him to teach us on what to pray for. The purpose in this morning watch. Now, why does David turn to the Lord first thing? Why does he have this priority? What does he want so early in the morning? Well, we can say at least five things. First of all, there's the desire for reflection. For reflection. Another morning has come. And why? Well, because of the Lord. He has given me a new day. He has given me my health. That's why you can get out of bed. Open your eyes. It was His goodness that gave you the ability to sleep and rest in the night past. There are those who did not sleep in the night past. There were those who were filled with excruciating pain in the night past. And you could sleep. Some nights better than another night, maybe. But if you see something of your sin, then it's a wonder that you open your eyes yet in the day of grace. That's what Jeremiah puts down in that book of Lamentation, that book which is full of lamentation. There in the middle of that short book, he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And that's what Jeremiah had come to in his reflections. And David too. And that's how David wakes up, desires to think on who the Lord is, His goodness, His grace, His power, His love in the coming Lord Jesus Christ. Reflection. Maybe the night was hard. Maybe the night was difficult. Maybe you were in the dark, dear child of God. Darkness outside and darkness inside. And God's people know of nights like that. But then you wake up and you meditate on who He is. Good is the Lord. And full of kind compassion. That first of all, there's the desire for reflection. Secondly, there's the desire for provision. For provision. For God's provisions. For God's supplies. After all, with a new day come new needs. And there can be so many needs and so many cares at the beginning of the day. You need strength in order to do your work. You need strength on the job site, strength to be a mother, strength to do your chores. You need the Lord to bless the work of your hands. Do we not need the Lord to help us? Do we not need the Lord to strengthen us? Do we not need His grace and enabling power? Do we not need our daily bread? And you need the blessing of the Lord on that bread. Else it won't profit us. And you need the ability to do your task and to live daily dependent on the Lord and His grace and care. There's the desire for provision. Thirdly, there's a desire for direction. For direction. Verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. David is seeking direction. He's seeking the leading of the Lord. Who does not need that? Someone says, but Pastor David, he maybe does not know what he needs to do. He is on the run after all. He needs to know where to go, what to do. And that's how others, we don't need to ask for that. We have our daily routines and our daily schedules. But don't we all need guidance, young people? Don't you need guidance? Maybe. What to do after graduation? Who to marry? Do you need direction? Oh, but Pastor, we do have our routines. Why would we need to pray for direction? Are you not afraid of taking a wrong step in the day? Of taking a step into sin? While you're at home, in your dealings with your children, or at work in your dealings with others, are you not afraid of sin? And you pray that petition that the Lord Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You need direction, and have you never, dear child of God, lost the way, and have you never gone out of the way, and have you never been led astray, and how do you get back to the Lord? You've lost the way, and the devil loves nothing more than that children of God lose their way, that way that leads to heaven. That's how the psalmist of Psalm 119 at the end of his long prayer says, "Thy servant like a sheep has gone astray. Seek him." And you can also say, "And lead him in the way everlasting. Take us by heart and hand and lead us." Fourthly, there's the desire for protection. For protection, after all, there are enemies. And David, verse 11, needs the Lord's defense. He needs the shield that he speaks about in verse 12. You see, he not only needs direction, he needs protection, because there are enemies, as Peter would later on say. And he would know about it from his own personal experience. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus woke up so early in the mornings. Mark 1, verse 35. He's been in Capernaum. Remarkable things have taken place. Sick people were being healed. Doctors no longer needed a job in Capernaum. And there's temptation for Jesus of success and pride and the temptation to bypass the cross. And so he goes early in the morning to pray also for protection. And that's what you and I need. Oh, we need it much more than we even realize. That protection, because Satan tries to do what he can to take his people out of the hands of the Lord Jesus. And David is praying for that shield. He's praying for that care, for those hands that hold his people, as Jesus speaks about in John 10. Those hands whereby his people are safe. "My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one shall be able to pluck them out of my hands. No one shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." And David wants to feel those hands holding him. You never pray for that? You never seek that? My dear unconverted friend, don't you realize how you need protection? You are so close to destruction. Your life can be over at any moment or time, and you're hanging by a thread over the pit of hell, and you don't realize how unsafe it is. You're not safe. Outside of Christ, you're not safe. And you need a shield and a protector and defender for your soul. And David, he wants to hide behind the shield of the Lord. "Hide me. Oh, my Savior, hide me." There's the desire for reflection, desire for provision, desire for direction, desire for protection. And fifthly, there's the desire for communion. Communion. Is that not the desire of God's children to know the communion with the Lord? That He is willing to meet with the soul. And He gives joy in the soul, as verse 11 speaks of. And to know the favor that he speaks of in verse 12, that comes through communion, doesn't it? To know his love, his nearness, his presence. In the words of Psalm 143, verse 8, what does the psalmist want in the morning? "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust." That loving kindness that is good and free. "In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear thy servant bless." The face of God. The love of God. The fellowship with God. Is that what you seek? I know your day can be so busy. I know your life can be such a busy life. Do you think your life is busier than David? David's life as king? Or do you think your life was busier than Daniel? A prime minister like Daniel? Do you say, "I don't really have time to pray"? As the poet put it, "I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray." Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered, he asked me. He answered, you didn't ask. And then I learned it, he said. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. You take time? Is that something that the Spirit has produced in your soul? That desire for His nearness and His communion and needing His provisions and His protection and reflections upon Him. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee and look up. But now why would He hear you? Why would He hear you? And that's our fourth point, the persuasion. David has a persuasion. There's expectation here in David's soul that the Lord will hear him. He says it in the last words of our text. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Literally, and I will watch. It's a word that is used by someone who's expecting something. It's a word used of Eli, for instance, that old priest who had his seat last day of his life. Now that seat by the road, and he was watching, for Israel had gone out to war. The ark was taken into battle. There he is, watching. He's expecting news. It's a word used for the watchtower in which a watchman on the tower is waiting to see things that will tell him whether good or bad. And that's how David is bowing in prayer. But there's believing prayer that the Lord will hear him. The Lord has worked by that Holy Spirit of grace, that persuasion that God is the hearer of prayer. He has said it in Psalm 4 verse 3. Psalm 4 verse 3. The Lord will hear when I call unto Him. Why is that? Is that just optimistic thinking on David's part? Oh no! David also knows that there are times when the Lord will not hear. He will say that. I think it's in Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. David here has persuasion. Why? Will the Lord hear him because of who David is? And that David has so much to commend about himself. And David has lived such a decent life. Is it because of what David is? No. Because of what we are and who we are, we deserve that God would plug His ears and turn a deaf ear toward us because of our sin and guilt that separate us from Him. But He has revealed Himself as the giver of prayer and the answerer of prayer and the hearer of prayer. He hears the needy when they cry. He's the hearer of the suppliant prayer. In Isaiah 41 verse 17, when the poor and needy seek for water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for this, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. You see, He is the hearer of the suppliant prayer. Ever found that? Ever discovered that? God hears me. I know God's child knows of times when it feels His prayers go unheard and they don't rise above the ceiling. I know that. But are there not times when you know deep in your soul the Lord will hear me? How come? David can pray in the morning because there's the morning sacrifice that would be brought to the temple. Because of who that morning sacrifice pointed to, His great Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who rose up early to seek His Father's face. Who did have that communion with His Father, day in, day out. Who nevertheless went to the cross to pay for the sins of His needy, guilty people, also for their so often unbelieving prayers. He went to the cross to pay also for those sins. who while on the cross sought his Father, and he was turned away. A deaf ear was turned to him, and he was abandoned so that you, sinner, may come and pour out your heart at morning, noon, and night. And he says, and I will supply your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not because you've been so faithful, but because of what He is, what He has done, and what He does. Christ is still at work. No, He does not need to fill up any more to satisfy the justice of God. Penalty has been paid, but He's still at work today, now, ever interceding, morning, day, and night. He's living to make intercession at the right hand of the Father. And that's why there are provisions and there is protection and there is communion that can be had. He says it. He lets us overhear it in John 17 in that high priestly prayer. Father, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of this world, but Thou shouldest keep them. He's praying for their protection from the evil. And that's how you can go to Him morning by morning, new mercies to seek in sickness, in health, in joy, and in sorrow, in adversity, in prosperity. Because with Him there is expectation. With Him there is a reason why He will hear. Though He be high, and though I be small, and insignificant of the dust, He loves to hear the needy cry. And what about you who will not pray? In a gathering like this, there are those who don't pray, who don't earnestly pray, who don't earnestly seek God in the morning. Maybe you say to yourself, I know I should, but you say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll feel better tomorrow. I'll have a better sleep tomorrow. Or I'll do it tonight. It's morning now. I'm tired. What a dreadful thing to perish while the throne of grace was set before you. To perish in hell, and in hell no morning comes. It's only night. It's only darkness. And it's too late then. And there's no mercy then. And there's no God supplying your need then. And there's not a drop of water to cool your tongue then. Why not take to heart what the prophet says in Isaiah 55? Seek the Lord while He may be found. And the morning time is a time when He is willing to be found. And call upon Him while He is near. For He's not far from every one of us, Paul will say. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And while there is deadness and lifelessness in your soul, dryness and darkness, He can come over and help in every need, so that you bow your knee and you fold your hands and you begin to cry and pray to Him who hears the needy when they cry. And the child of God who struggles in prayer many mornings, but you can't do without Him, is it right? One day the eternal morning will come, and then there will be no more prayer. But then there will be praise for Him who is the hearer of the suppliant prayer. That's the longing of the morning watch, isn't it? And the day of days will come, and then at Thy sacred altar bending, my heart to God in prayer I'll raise, with harp and voice and worship blending, Thy courts resound while psalms ascending to God, my highest joy, bring praise for all His wondrous ways. Amen.